All right, hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. This time we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We've talked about in the past how hard it is to, you know, chase your dream, and sometimes these obstacles get in your way of making it. You know, our first ever episode, we talked to Trevor Lewis about how hard it was for him to keep chasing the dream. There were roadblocks and he wasn't good enough. But what happens if, while you're chasing the dream, your dream changes? We talk about it all the time in the fire service, like, oh, they moved my cheese. Like, what I was trying to do in this rat race became something else. So a real unique story. And our special guest today is Hank Levy. Hank, we almost had you on the show before. We had your dad on here. Your dad's obviously a local legend. Jeff Levy, for those of you that don't know. But Hank, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
So let's talk about it a little bit. You've been a hockey goalie your whole life. Your dad was a hockey goalie. Your dad was drafted by Minnesota. Like, we told his story. You know, you grew up kind of chasing the same dream. Mm-hmm. And even just recently, like, I know a few years ago, there were some obstacles put in your way. And you're like, man, I really got to work through this if I'm going to make it. So tell us a little bit about, like, when you knew you wanted to play goalie. Like, how old were you when you started goalie?
Oh, man, I was volunteering myself to play goalie as much as I can. It's been a dream of mine, you know, pretty much since I was born. I feel like I was born, into hockey. My dad was still playing when I was first growing up. And so I feel like, you know, me being around his final years of pro hockey was super impactful on me wanting to play and specifically goalie.
What are your first memories of watching him play? Like, do you remember where you were at or?
I believe he ended his career in Rio Grande Valley. And you know, I was so young at the time, I don't really remember much. But I was looking through, it's actually funny. I was looking through my baby book the other day with my mom, and there's some really, really cool pictures, of me skating around after my dad's games with him and even watching from the stands. So even though I don't really remember it, that's kind of my first memory. And I think that I just fell in love with hockey and goalie from there.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things when, when you're the kid of a goalie that's continuing mm-hmm. to play, like for my son, I kind of didn't want him to be a goalie. I mean, I probably really did, but I was like, man, yeah. It's so much easier if you're just a player. There's so many more opportunities if you're a player. And so, like, through mites or whatever, I kept giving him forward sticks and everything. And the minute they put a puck on the ice and there was a net, you know, there wasn't supposed to be goalies, he went right back to the goal. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was what he'd seen, that's what he knew, and that's what he was going to be. And, all right, so you grow up being a goalie. You grew up around here mostly, right, in Salt Lake?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was born in El Paso, Texas. My dad was doing hockey there. And we moved around a little bit. I lived in New Mexico, but in 2010, we were in Salt Lake City for good.
Yeah. I kind of remember when you guys were coming back.
Yeah.
So, and then you're a goalie, and now you're hitting the ages where it's time to get out of here, and you start looking at opportunities to leave. Where were you playing here? Like, what was your highest level you played here before you left? What organization were you with?
Yeah, so I played for the Utah Regulators the year before I left. I was 11 years old at the time, and it was great. You know, I still hang out with those guys, and Steve Metcalf was my coach. My dad was obviously helping out. And then I actually left to go play in Colorado when I was 12 years old. Me and my dad moved down there and just lived in like a little apartment for the year. And then ended up playing that year. Didn't make the team the next year. So I came back for a year before I ended up going back to Colorado. I played for the Junior Grizzlies. That would have been my 13th year.
Yeah. So, and with in Colorado, you were a Thunderbird at some point, right?
Yeah, for 12s and then 14 through 18s,
Okay.
I played T-Birds. Yeah.
And then at 18, this is where I kind of really started talking to your dad a little bit and got a little bit more involved with what was going on with you and not really involved, but listening to the story anyway. You were looking for better options. You didn't go to the USHL. I know that's was kind of the goal, but what options did you have at that point, and where did you end up going?
Yeah, so after my 18 year, I had another year of 18s. And that would have, so I finished my first year of 18s in March of 2020. And that's when COVID all hit. And so right after my 18 season, I signed with the Calgary Canucks in the AJHL. And it was kind of a unique time. Everyone was quarantining. And I didn't end up actually playing hockey that season at all. I could never get there. And I felt like I belonged in a good junior league. So I didn't really end, and there were no opportunities for me. They were, so hard to come by that year with colleges not allowing guys to come in and stuff and having them, play their final years of junior. And it's just so hard to break into, the junior ranks in general. So yeah, uniquely enough, I didn't end up playing hockey at all that season.
Yeah, it's so crazy. A lot of people, if you were older, you kind of missed it. But I was watching it even at the college level. Man, all of a sudden the NCAA let you keep players. Juniors was letting guys stay. It was impossible for anybody to get in or out of Canada. So it
Yeah,
was
totally.
complete lockdown and insanity. And then there were like all these guys that should have aged out or should have graduated college, and they were left over, and extra guys were in college. And extra guys were juniors, and you're like, what is going on? There's like, it was insane. I was watching it with my son's soccer. I was watching it with my daughter's sports as well. And West Point just pretended like nothing happened. You graduated, you moved on. They just didn't care. But everywhere else, like, just bent over backwards for that COVID. And it just made it
For
insane,
sure.
insane for kids that didn't have a place to play, trying to find a place.
Oh, it was so hard. So hard. Yeah, it was so unique. Like you said, like the, college has given everyone an extra year or two that factored in. So yeah, it was very unique.
Yeah, it's crazy. So eventually you find a place to play, though. So the COVID year's over, you figure out where you're going to play, and where you ended up in, were you in the BC?
Yeah, so I didn't play that season. So I kind of, I just washed it and I started focusing on the next year. I was just skating here with my dad and training on my own. And I originally signed a tender in the NCDC with Philadelphia Hockey Club. And I went to their tryouts. And it was a strange experience because I felt like I did well at their tryouts and I was a tender. But I never really heard back from the coach right after tryouts. So instead of like reaching out to him, I just ended up going to the next tryout, which was the Wenatchee Wild in the BCHL. And I ended up making their team, and that was a better what I felt like a better opportunity for me in a better league. So I went there and that's kind of where my junior career began. I was there for a short amount of time before I went to the Minnesota Magicians in the NHL.
Okay, so why did you change leagues? What was, is that something you can talk about or feel like talking about?
Do you mean change from the NCDC to the BC or from
From
Wenatchee to Minnesota?
BC to Minnesota.
Yeah, so I had a really strong preseason game, a really strong regular season game against, funny enough, the team I ended up playing for, in my final year of junior. And then they got a guy, from the USHL. So that left me, the odd man out. So they actually got rid of me. And then I was left, they didn't trade me or anything. They just kind of released me. So I was left without a home and, my dad, he's probably sent 5,000 emails for me, over my career. And we just kind of went back to the drawing board, and he just ended up emailing teams and all over the NAHL, the North American Hockey League, and the Minnesota Magicians were the first to reach out. So I just I think I was home for like 2 days between Wenatchee and Minnesota, and I just drove there with my uncle and showed up, and that's where I played the rest of that season.
Nice. How did you like the NAHL, the North American Hockey League? It's the US's like second league, right? You have the USHL and then you have the NAHL, and those are the top
Yep.
two junior leagues we have in the United States for those that don't
For
know.
sure.
How did you enjoy that? And isn't it weird to see, like, you're in Minnesota? It's not like there's a hard time finding 18-year-old goalies in Minnesota or 19-year-old goalies in Minnesota. So it's got to feel a little bit nice that they're like, hey, why don't you come to the true hockey heartland of the United States and play here. That's got
For sure.
a little bit of an
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, just in general, I mean, there's so many goalies out there to pick from, and I'll forever be grateful for Wenatchee because, I really don't think I would have gotten that opportunity without them. Without me being able to say I came from the BC. And it was great. I really liked Minnesota. My billets were unbelievable. I loved them. I still talk to them to this day. And we had an okay team. I would have, just like everyone, I would have liked to have played more games and had, a higher save percentage and everything. But overall, it was a good year, a good first rookie year. And I mean, I really enjoyed my time there. It was a great city to live in and everything.
Okay. And then what happens at the end of that season?
So at the end of that season, I actually left the team early. So they had they got rid of me at the trade deadline, like literally on the trade deadline day, for 2 20-year-old goalies. So I ended up just staying practicing for a little, just so my off season wasn't super long. And from there, I was kind of left, as a free agent. Like I wasn't protected by anyone, which at the time, me and my dad kind of thought that was maybe a blessing in disguise because I could be able to pick any tryout to go to. So that summer, I ended up going to the Maryland Black Bears tryout. Didn't make their team, and I was kind of left down. I was left with one tryout left, pretty much. It was the Anchorage Wolverines, and in the NAHL. And I felt like I had a really strong tryout, made it to the All-Star game, played well, and they still didn't take me. So I was kind of left with nothing there. I remember sitting in the car with my dad, just kind of thought that was it. That was the end of the run. And then I went back home, and I would say maybe 6 days later or so, there was a team that I almost went to from Wenatchee, actually, the year before, that just did me a favor, and the Penticton V's in the BCHL reached out to this guy, who was a part of another junior team, that just liked me and was a super nice guy. And Penticton actually had an off-season injury to one of their goalies, so they were in need of a goalie, and this guy in for the Black Falls Bulldogs just recommended me, and that's kind of how I got my opportunity there.
Yeah, it's so crazy how many things have to
It's
fall in
amazing.
place.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Yeah.
For some people it's easy. For some people they get whatever they want right away. And then for most people though, honestly, most people and almost everybody that we've had on the show, including Luke Robitaille, like Luke Robitaille tells similar stories where he wasn't getting breaks, and then a guy knew a guy that knew him, and luckily he hadn't been a jerk in the locker room, and everybody, that's one of the things I tell people all the time, like, be likable, remember, be coachable, because you never know who's going to be the guy that says, yeah, he should go, or no, he shouldn't go. You never know who they're going to ask. Sometimes it's a trainer, sometimes it's the guy that gets dressed next to you. So that's just a good life lesson to teach there. So you end up
100%.
there, and that's the team that you had a good game against with Wenatchee and East.
Yes, yep. Yep,
Nice.
yep. Funny
Nice.
enough.
And okay, so you play there, have a decent season, and then kind of talk us through. I mean, I know what happens. Why don't you tell us what happens from there?
Yeah, so it was my final season of junior. Obviously, my whole life goal has been to play Division One college hockey, and get an opportunity there. And so, I just took it one day at a time. In Penticton, honestly, with the turnover in junior hockey, I was just concerned about staying there, like not getting released or traded. It was such an unbelievable place to live and play. Probably to this day, my favorite hockey experience. I loved my teammates and coaches that year. And it was just a great year. Like the year before, I would have liked to have played more. But I had an awesome goalie partner there who I got along with really well. And for the games I did play, I felt like I played really well. It all kind of fell in place for me that year. Just to get an opportunity to play there was surreal. And then towards the end of the year, I think it was in March, ASU came and watched me play and kind of offered me a spot on their team for this season. And it was pretty much my first offer, so I took it right away, and it was definitely something I've worked towards my whole life, so it was a great feeling.
But that's got to be unreal too, because growing up, for me anyway, Arizona State's always been a phenomenal school, and you always hear about the beautiful women there and the good times you have there, and I had the unique experience of playing roller hockey in Phoenix and getting to go to some of those club games when ASU would play U of A. And that was just a riot. What a great time. But as a guy going, like, looking NCAA Division One, Arizona State wasn't on the map till a few years ago. So that had to be kind of surreal. Like, all right, here's a school that wasn't even an NCAA hockey school until 4 or 5 years ago. And here's an opportunity for me to go to sunny Arizona, play college hockey. And like, what a cool opportunity. So you get there, and what's that like? What's it like to finally see your dream come true?
I mean, it was amazing, when I first committed there. Like you said, like it was a dream come true for me. And it was great, over the summer. I was looking forward to it. And I got there, and honestly, I obviously it didn't exactly work out, and I have other interests and stuff, but I needed that experience in order to be fulfilled, I think. Like, had I not gone to ASU, I wouldn't feel fulfilled. And when I first got there, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, nice weather, great campus. And it was great, the new gear and everything. You know how it is. And then, I just kind of I got to play, actually, like you mentioned. We played U of A in a preseason game, and I got to play in that game and did well. And those were great times. And then, as the season kind of went along, I've always loved playing forward, for one, and I just wasn't loving my time there. I didn't love my role. I felt like, maybe I could have gotten more of an opportunity to have a better role on the team. I was the third goalie at the time there. Didn't quite see eye to eye with my coach, and just kind of decided it was time to move on, and here I am today, and I'm skating as a forward, and plan on going to the University of Utah to play there.
That's the part that just blows me away, because, and I'll tell you, well, for me, I hardly ever played forward. I saw your dad do it, and I was like, wow, how do you do that? How do you go from being a goalie to playing forward? But and I've seen other guys do it too. Like Jordan Parisi refuses to get back in the net, and there's a lot of guys that played, and they're like, once they're done, and it's like they never want to get back in the net. I never had that. Obviously, I still play. I played last night. I was going to play today, But I saw that with my son, and my son had similar opportunities. I'll never forget the day we had played in we played in a huge tournament in Minnesota, and he was U16, and we got back to Utah, and I got a phone call about both my goalies that played for my U16 team that we took to Minnesota. The whole reason I took the team there was for exposure. And I get a phone call, and I knew who the goalie coach was, and he called me up and he said, "Hey, look, I've got opportunities for both your goalies." And I said, "All right." And he said, "Let's start with your son. I want him in Dubuque. I want him to be our number two in Dubuque as a going into 17. He'll be our backup, and he'll be absolutely 100% will not beat out the kid that's coming in that we have." And he said, "But that kid is going to go to Arizona State the next year, and we'd like Teagan to be our starter the following year. And then there's also the potential to send him to Arizona State as well." And I'm sitting in my hot tub, just getting back from Minnesota, on my deck, and I'm like, "Yeah, he'll take it. Yeah, that's perfect. That's awesome." And then I walked in and I was like, "Teagan, this is what's going on." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I have no interest in that." And I'm like, "No, this
Yeah.
maybe you didn't hear. This is the USHL calling. This isn't. And he's like, "No, I have no interest." And
Right.
it blew my mind to hear that.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking he didn't want to leave home. He said, "If I want to play college hockey, that means I have to play 2 years of juniors, which means that puts me 2 years." He's planning on being a doctor, and he's like, "That puts me 30 years old before I graduate."
Right.
And I'm like, "Yeah, but college hockey, junior hockey, that's what we do." And he's like, "No, I have no interest." So for him to tell me that, and I'm still standing there in my bathing suit, just fresh out of the hot tub with my jaw on the floor going, "Wait a minute. So how's your conversation go with your dad, where you're like, 'Dad, was that hard for you to bring to him, or was it easy?"
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's of course it's hard. My dad has been the most supportive person in my life, and he put just as much time and effort into my dream as I did. I get emotional even reminiscing on the times and stuff we had together. But yeah, so yeah, that does make it hard. But when I first called him, he was nothing but supportive. He actually he had a similar feeling and thing. Obviously made it a little further than I did. He played out his contract, his first professional contract, and just kind of reached a point where he was done and wanted to move on. And then he actually, I don't know if you know, but he went back to playing 5 years later, came out of retirement. So you never know, maybe that's something that I want to do. Maybe I want to make a comeback one day. But yeah, I mean, he's been nothing but supportive. Same with all my family, which makes obviously that change so much easier.
Did he kind of see it coming? Did he know, or did it catch him? Was it just out of left field for him?
Yeah, no, I don't think it caught him by surprise. I think that, anyone who knows me knows I like to play a lot of player. I have probably the last 5 years in the summer. And then I just think besides that, you miss playing games. With the role I had at ASU, I didn't, get that opportunity. So I think that, he understood, mentally where I was at. And we had a few conversations leading up to that time. I specifically am thinking about when I kind of laid it all out there for him, that maybe hinted at the fact that, I didn't want to do this for 4 years. And I think that maybe he thought I'd try and grind out the year. No, overall, I don't think it caught him by surprise.
What made you switch schools? Like, do you know what you want to major in? Do you know specifically what you want to be when you grow up?
No, I don't, honestly. I was an undecided major at ASU. So, yeah, I just want to be home is the big thing. Obviously I've been away since I was 12, so, but not including the summers. And then I know I know Nick Fornelius. He's the coach on the U's, men's two team. So it just feels like it'd be a good fit for me.
Yeah. That's a fun team to be a part of. It's
For
gonna
sure.
be, for me, it's like one, all right, man, you had Arizona State as a goalie and a guy that loves equipment. I just think about all the options that you had for masks and for pad setup with the Sun Devil thing. I mean, to me, it's like I probably would have just stuck it out so I could have cool equipment and sit the bench for the rest of, for 3 more years or whatever. But the University of Utah's got some really good opportunities, and it's definitely different than NCAA Division I, but it's still a blast, and you get to play hockey while you're getting your degree,
For
and
sure.
you get to finally be home, so that's cool. So what would
Right.
you tell somebody else? Like somebody else is going through what you went through. Like there's other people listening, and maybe there's somebody right now that's hitting the grind, and they're like, maybe this isn't what I want to do. Was it ever? Let me ask you this, because I get accused of this all the time, and it's probably 100% true that Tegan probably played the last couple of years because of who I was and because I would kept coaching and kept helping. Was it ever because of who your dad was that you kept going?
No, definitely not. I think that we enjoyed it together and still will. We just went to a stick and puck this week and he helped me out as a forward. So it's just it'll always be our passion together for sure. And I was playing, because I loved it. And then when I reached the point where I wasn't loving it, that's when I stopped. And yeah, I mean, it's like I think I really enjoyed that chase of trying to reach that goal of getting a Division I commitment. And then when I got there and realized, that it wasn't for me, then I just kind of I chose to, pursue something else I really want to do. And it's funny, even though it's the ACHA, like I'm still gonna try and get, as good as I can as a player and see what I can do with that. So it's just a new challenge and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I guess that's the best advice you can give anybody is if you've tried it and you've really pushed for it and it's just not your thing anymore, it's okay to step away and go for a new dream
For
and
sure.
set some new goals. And I like to hear that you have new goals. As you and I have been trying to get this podcast together, you're texting me, you're like, hey, well, what other ice time do you have so I can get out there with you guys and get, so I can get better at this forward thing. And
Yeah, for sure.
Forney's in our group too, so it'll be fun to get you out there and skating with him too. So we'll get you out there
Absolutely.
and help you get better. You're gonna hit up Uncle Scott, have him. He's like one of the hardest hitters I've ever known. That'd be if he could pass that gene along, it'd be nice to know how to hit like that.
Right. Yeah, he's actually he's living in Oregon right now. So I don't get to see Scott too much, but I play with my dad and then his two sons, so my two cousins. We play on the same D3 county team in the summer. And that is like the most fun. I've done so many cool things and had so many great experiences, and playing with my dad and then two cousins to add to that has been like some of the most fun I've ever had playing hockey.
Well, that's awesome. And that's what it comes down to, right? Like some people actually get to chase the dream. You had those unique opportunities and it's cool because you had to work through some adversity and you didn't give up and you got to where you wanted to be and then realize, hey, it's not for me. But what is for me is still having fun playing hockey, getting out with the family, getting out with friends and being able to live in Utah again, finally. Welcome home.
Thank you.
And just keeping it up. That's the part, right? Be home, play hockey. It's such a great, for me, it's like it's my therapy. And for a lot of guys, the older age, it's our only cardio. It's our main therapy. And it's a great way to get around and just and hang out with friends and family and have a good time. So man, it's a
Agreed.
cool story. It's a cool story, Hank. And we wish you nothing but the best. It was fun watching you chase it. And when you got in that preseason game, I was really hoping to, keep posting updates on you and seeing how you were going to do. With Arizona State, but man, this is cool too, man. We're excited to see how you do with the University of Utah. Are you
Thank
gonna
you so much.
be, are you a forward or a defenseman?
Oh, I'll play forward for sure.
Yeah, there's no glory in defense.
Yeah, no, I'm moving on from the defensive mindset. I want to try and put the puck in the
I've played like four games forward in my entire life, and it's so
net.
because half the time I don't even know what the score is. I don't like the game goes by so much quicker, and I'm just like, wow, there's no stress. Like it's fun. Well,
Yeah, 100%.
Hank, we
Looking
really,
forward to it.
yeah, we're looking forward to seeing it, and I'm gonna cover it too, man. I can't wait to come out
Cool.
and post and see how you're doing, and hopefully watch your first couple goals and
Yeah.
as a forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you. Hopefully I see you in the next little bit and we can skate
Oh
together.
yeah, this Friday, let's get together. We'll do
All
some
right.
traveling.
That sounds great.
Hank, is there anything else you'd want to say to anybody else? Anybody going through what you're going through, or anybody else chasing the dream? Do you have any advice or tips?
Oh man. Not really. Just obviously if you're if you're pursuing something, just be relentless in your pursuit. Like I said, my dad probably sent me five th or sent for me 5,000 emails to teams over the years. So yeah, and just follow your passion. That's all I'd say.
That's great advice. All right, Hank, thank you for your time. Good luck this season.
Thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
And that is the Utah Puck Report.